Where the Overdrive guys are taking over the panel, but they will be joined. Okay, so no TJ Brony in the lineup tonight for the Leafs, often referred to on these airwaves by you and I as the babysitter of the Leafs blue line. The man on the line is assuming the role tonight, Darren Dreger, our TSN hockey insider. Are you up for the task of babysitting on the panel tonight, Dregs?
Oh, I'm always up for the task, Julia, but look, I can't give up too much on this because it's very sensitive.
Okay.
But there are ongoing discussions, negotiations over how involved I'll actually be in the Overdrive panel tonight. I mean, you know, these guys, they can handle their own. Brian Hayes is capable.
Yeah.
You know, although I say that, and I'm reminded of the conversation that James Duffy had with the Overdrive team last night, and Duffy reminding Hayes that, look, you know, you don't have 18 minutes to get into whatever it is you want to talk about in the first segment. And TV, as you know, it's chop, chop. Let's get at it here.
Yeah.
We've got 3 minutes to do a period analysis. So in the spirit of the evening, I will be there. I'll be involved in the pregame show. There's a general manager's meeting that's happening today in Toronto, as a matter of fact. So there might be some stuff that comes out of that. Normally it's not that interesting, the November meeting, but that's fine. We'll touch on that on the second intermission. So I've got spot duty, but I'm not going to accept the label of babysitter because that would be overselling.
Well, here's what I'm worried about, to be honest with you. Did you see what happened to Noodles at the Sens game last night?
I did. Yeah.
So Noodles.
Close call.
Oh man. Well, he's got a big shiner. I don't know if you've seen the update. I just saw him. I was on FaceTime with Steph and Noodles walked in.
Serious shiner.
Craig Button level shiner right now. And I guarantee you the first couple of minutes of that panel is gonna be them just breaking down Noodles taking the stick to the face in between the benches last night.
Well, see, Mike, normally I would say you're right on this because If it were Overdrive tonight on radio, TSN 1050, of course, it would be nothing but shenanigans for the first 3 minutes. We can't do that in a Toronto Maple Leafs pregame show. So I'm not entirely sure how it's all going to break down. I suspect that, there's going to I mean, the man is sitting in a chair on live television with a shiner. There has to be an explanation for it, which is pretty easy. The video evidence is there.
Yeah.
But that, again, is the savvy veteran in me is withdrawing a little bit for fear of that, right?
I mean,
these guys need to get to it. Let's have some fun. Everybody have a chuckle, but you can only do it in 60 seconds.
See, that's the babysitter. We'll that's the babysitter stuff that we know you're going
to
bring tonight. You're living up to it already, pal.
It's going to be a good one.
That's our TSN hockey insider, Darren Dreger. He's going to be on the panel tonight for the Leafs versus the Penguins. All the Overdrive guys will be featured tonight, so it'll be a good one.
Yeah.
Major update from the Leafs yesterday. Kyle Dubas spoke and kind of told us where Jake Muzzin was at. He's going to be out indefinitely. He'll be reevaluated just ahead of the trade deadline in February. What did you think of the plan that Dubas kind of outlined when he said that they're going to give it time, they're going to see what they can get out of Sandin and Liljegren, and then kind of explore the market?
Yeah, that makes sense. But look, I mean, It's not like other general managers around the league aren't paying attention to the injury situations of the other clubs in the NHL too, right? So it's pretty obvious that Dubas and the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to have to address that blue line at some point. Internally on the short term, yes, they want to see more of Liljegren and more of Rasmus Sandin. And I think that anybody who's watched these two young developing defensemen in the last couple few games can attest to they have more to give, and they're going to have to developmentally. They're going to have to be better moving forward. So, it's a tough story with Jake Muzzin. I don't think that anything that Dubas said was even remotely surprising. Mm. Good on the Maple Leafs for showing transparency specific to the injury, but they did that to make sure that everybody can appreciate that, this isn't something you fool around with. Jake needs to be concerned with the rest of his life, not the rest of this season or his career for that matter. So look, there's no sense pushing panic buttons specific to Muzzin. He's going to rest. He's going to continue to do everything that he's done to this point, and then he'll be reevaluated in February at the, I believe the LA specialists. And then he'll have to make a call in consult with the medical experts as to what's best for this year and perhaps the rest of his career. But Dubas will use that money. You know, to bring it back to a business and a hockey platform, Dubas will use that money. It's still pretty early. And we say that a lot when we're looking at kind of trouble spots around the NHL. But until you get to that 2025 game mark, you know, the market hasn't fully been established with the defensemen who are actually in play and what a fair ask might be. And then on top of that, you know, what might Toronto be looking for here? I don't feel like a 5, 6, 7, 8 defenseman is what Toronto needs. You know, they got to be big game hunting here, and they got to be looking for, you know, a 3 or a 4 at worst.
I agree.
You know, then look through the prospects and what is the willingness to give away some of the young assets that Toronto has parted with from a draft pick perspective in the past. What is Kyle's appetite to do that in the next 10 to 15 games? That's what we're going to find out.
Well, I'm curious myself. Like, you could talk about Kyle's appetite, but this being such a big season for the Toronto Maple Leafs, almost, like, Dubas is in a contract year, which effectively means that, you know, Keith could potentially be in the crossfires if he doesn't make it through. You've got the uncertainty around what Auston Matthews is doing in the future. Like, how aggressive do you think that this team would be in the trade market when it comes down to mortgaging those futures for a big win now piece, like knowing there's so much uncertainty with this club?
Yeah, aggressive, but more aggressive than they might otherwise be. Not because of management contracts or, you know, anybody wants to put a question mark beside Sheldon Keefe, and I'm not in that group. I think that he's coaching his ass off. I really believe that. You know, does he make mistakes? Of course he does. Every NHL coach makes a mistake. That's what the game is all about. But he's also made a tremendous amount of adjustments, more than we've ever seen in his time on the Toronto Maple Leafs bench. Look, the results will determine the future of Kyle Dubas at the end of the season, and likewise for Sheldon, if we're willing to put him into that category. But I think that management, senior management, and everybody associated with Maple Leafs also recognizes that, look, they've got an opportunity to contend for the Stanley Cup this year. It doesn't look that way right now, right? I mean, they haven't had a complete game yet. You know, against the Canucks the other night, bad start. Bad start. Now they found a way to dig out of that hole, but it does feel like piece by piece, inch by inch, they are getting better. So there are some areas that we've already talked about on that back end that they're going to have to address. Maybe if the right piece is available up front from a more depth perspective, they go down that road, although that feels a bit of a stretch. I think for the most part they like what they see in, say, Yarncroke and some of the others. But I don't think that Kyle Dubas is going to manage any differently. If the right piece is available, the right defenseman is available, and there's a cost that has to go along with that, yeah, that has to be weighed. You know, how much does it matter on the short term if it's coming at a hefty cost long term? And Brendan Shanahan and others would be part of that decision-making process.
Okay, so no question they'll have to do something on the blue line. Matt Murray gets back in tonight, and everyone's kind of holding their breath to see how that goes. Samsonov still, he's practicing, hasn't played yet. What do you think, Dregs? Do you think there's something to be done at the goaltending position as well, based on how things go with these two? Maybe even upgrading the third position?
Maybe, but, you know, who's that upgrade, Julia? Not to put you on the spot, but that's the issue, right? You know, I was skeptical of the depth of the Toronto Maple Leafs goaltending. Kyle Dubas assured me that he didn't share that pessimism. You know, when Samsonov went down and Murray was already hurt, the messaging from the management of the Toronto Maple Leafs was, we don't see the issues. We think we have good depth. And in fairness, Derek Shogren, he's proven that they have good depth.
Yeah.
And I think collectively Leafs Nation has time for Joe Woll. You know, he needs to get full healthy, and he's not quite there yet, but looks to be some form of future with Woll and the Toronto Maple Leafs. So, you know, again, it's not like Toronto has an abundance of assets to peddle away. Let's also see, you know, how things map out here between now and March 3rd. March 3rd feels like it's years away from where we're at right now. And if the goaltending is a problem, it's because the goalies have either played themselves into a position where it's a problem or health is an issue. And health is a big difference maker, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, here's hoping for Matt Murray just because, look, he's been through so much, went through so much in Ottawa, now in Toronto. You know, just from a competitive aspect, I hope he just endures the rest of this year. Look, stop pucks, don't stop pucks. Let's grade Matt Murray on whether he's able to do those things. But to do those things, he's got to be healthy. So here's hoping for good health. If he's in good health, I like Samsonov. I think that he's a quality NHL goaltender. I honestly don't believe that goaltending is going to be an issue for them.
I agree with that sentiment. But it is the health factor,
yeah.
Right? Like we're now what are we, a month into the season, and both goalies have already spent some time on the injured reserve list. That kind of does make you a little weary about it going forward.
Yeah.
But if healthy, I agree. I think that this is a tandem that could work. The skill level is there. Julie and I were just talking about Matt Murray and that stretch he had in Ottawa last year, of about 10 or 11 games, like a 950 goalie, and then unfortunately got hurt to end the year. And that's kind of where the big question marks always will be with Matt Murray. And I think that's why you ask the question, should the Leafs maybe go after another depth goalie, just simply because can you trust those guys, the tandem that they currently have, to stay healthy for you, not only now, but even in the playoffs?
Yeah, no, you're not wrong, but how can you... You can't manage that way. You can't worry about injuries. You'll drive yourself bonkers.
Yeah.
And you have to trust what you have within your organization. The reason Matt Murray is in Toronto is because of that stretch with Ottawa, Mike, that you talked about before he got hurt. That's the reason that he's in Toronto.
Yeah,
and there's some history there, of course. But, you know, I want to back up here just a little bit because, okay, let's assume that Dubas is successful in adding a piece or pieces to his defensive core. Well, look, if the right goalie pops onto the market, you know, I think of John Gibson. Okay, the contract is going to be problematic and all of those things. But you get to around March 3rd, and, you know, things are going better than you expected. And now as I'm talking out loud here, I'm thinking about how Robin Lehner ended up in Vegas back in the day. He ended up in Vegas because the Vegas Golden Knights were worried that given his age, Marc-Andre Fleury wouldn't be able to shoulder all of the load, and they believed that they were a top Stanley Cup contender. Now, they did okay. History shows otherwise. You know, Leonard has had the double hip surgery and whatnot, and Marc-Andre Fleury obviously is now two teams removed from Vegas. But my point is, let's look at it from the grass is greener. Let's say Toronto just has a heck of a push here between now and the trade deadline, and they believe that they are a top Stanley Cup contender, but they are a little bit worried about the health or quality of their goaltending. Who knows? You know, if the right pieces out there like Gibson or another piece, then why wouldn't you try and make that happen? But, you know, thinking of it, talking about it, and actually doing it are three different things.
Yeah, that's... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, it's a conversation with Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. You spoke about Sheldon Keefe and how, you know, he's a guy who's coaching his ass off, and, you know, he made some adjustments to the lineup from last week when Matthews and Marner were playing together against the Pittsburgh Penguins. He split them up in Vancouver. They ended up winning that game, and they remain split up going into tonight's game. So the coaching adjustment has been made, but from what you watched and witnessed Friday at the Hall of Fame game, what adjustments do you think the players need to make sure that they can take the full 2 points in tonight's game?
Yeah, it's a good question because that Pittsburgh team looked like a team on Friday that was hungry and not a team that had gone through just an ugly funk where all of us are looking at it and going, what is happening to this Penguins team? I think that Mike Sullivan is arguably the best coach in the NHL. I do. And you know, his experience probably backs that up to a point. You know, defensively, they're normally a very, very responsible team. But they went through a real touch of adversity. They really, truly did. If that's behind them, then you're going to see a team with appetite here again. And look, I mean, you know, you can't do anything about the games that you lost. Those points have been lost. But Pittsburgh, as we know, plays Toronto with three times in 15, 16 days, and then the season is over. So they've got game one under their belt. Compliments to the win on Friday. they'll be pretty motivated, I would think, going into this one tonight. As far as splitting up Meyer and Matthews, I mean, it's a big story in Toronto because those two have had, you know, a terrific amount of success in their time together. But think back to how good John Tavares was as a goal scorer his first season in Toronto with Marner feeding him all night long.
Yep.
You know, he scored 47 times. And I think, frankly, that this split up is more about just freshening things for everybody, but also the byproduct of this is the hard work of William Nylander. Hasn't gone under the radar because, look, we all watch the game very closely in this market, but this is as much a promotion and an acknowledgement of effort and good play by William Nylander to saddle him up beside Auston Matthews than it is anything else. So I don't think there's going to be much of an issue for player adjustment tonight.
That's our TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Dreger, and AB just mentioned the Hall of Fame game on Friday was the one that we saw between Toronto and Pittsburgh. Last night was the inductions. Hugh, what was the highlight last night? There was a lot of great moments in the whole ceremony.
Yeah, so many great moments. You know, look, I'm a fan of all of those players. You know, everyone inducted. This is it's a special class in the Carnegie family. Rika Salonen representing women's hockey internationally, of course. You know, for the Vancouver Canucks, who have been kicked in the shins about 50 different ways to this point this year, I mean, of course, they're going to hold a piece of Roberto Luongo near and dear in their hearts forever, Daniel and Henrik Sedin. I've been fortunate to spend a good amount of time around Daniel Alfredsson and doing Sens games over the years, and he's as classy as an individual you're ever going to meet. And I'm not talking just pro sport. He's a good dude, just flat-out good dude. So it was fun to hear the twins go back at one another. You know, Daniel was Mr. Nice Guy, acknowledging Henrik was the better player, the better person, and then Henrik takes the podium and kind of swats Daniel around a little bit. And, you know, Roberto Luongo always has some flair and a nice sense of humor to go along with him as well. It was, you know what? It was an emotional weekend, wasn't it? It was charged up by the Boreas Salming ovation on Friday, which, man, you might as well hit me upside the head with a 2x4, because I was not anticipating that, and there wouldn't have been a dry eye in the house and at home watching on TSN. So from beginning to end, it was a special event. The Hall of Fame did it right this time around.
Oh, they absolutely did. The Hall of Fame did it right. I thought the Leafs did a terrific job, not only Friday, but also Saturday for Boreas Salming and giving him the proper praise for Leafs Nation that he deserves. But when you look forward, I guess, into 2023, Dregs, is there someone you feel that deserves to finally get their name in the hall? I was taking a look at some of the first-time inductees. Doesn't seem like a particularly strong class, so maybe some of these guys who like a McGillney, a Roenick, you know, some of these guys who've been waiting around, Cujo, who you feel should get the call to the hall this upcoming year?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's Henrik Lundqvist, I guess. Would that be his first year of eligibility?
He's probably the top of the class for first years, and then after that, Bomeister, Justin Williams,
Well, you know, I struggle with this every single year because if it came to me and they said, okay, you're the guy who has the final the final call and making the decision, everyone would be in the Hall of Fame. to even be in the conversation, you had to have been a special player.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not elite. Maybe not always a game changer, or, you know, now we've coined the term generational when you think of Connor McDavid and maybe Auston Matthews and Wayne Gretzky, of course. But, I think Alex McGillney is a Hall of Famer all day long. And he has to get in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. Ray Ferraro on the podcast, which we recorded earlier today, he played against Rod Brind'Amour a lot. And Brind'Amour should be Hall of Fame. You know, so I do like what the Hall of Fame has done in recent years, and that is recognizing that guys like Kevin Lowe, as an example, won 6 Stanley Cups, and every one of those teams would say they're not winning the Stanley Cup unless Kevin Lowe is in the lineup and is a leader on those teams. That's Hall of Fame criteria for me. But you can go down the list, right? It doesn't always have to be about the number of Stanley Cups and whatnot. But Yeah, McGillney, Brind'Amour. Jeremy Roenick is a Hall of Famer for me. So I hope that the league or the Hall of Fame does continue with that. Kind of that trend of playing catch-up, because those men deserve to be in there.
I completely agree. All those names, I think, should be in the Hall next year. Really appreciate taking the time, as always, Dregs. Can't wait to watch the panel tonight. It'll be a special one, and you'll be a big part of it, pal. Big part of it.
I appreciate that, but you know what you should be looking for tonight, Mike?
What's that?
Is a close-up, an isolation camera of my luxurious Movember mustache.
It looks amazing.
It's looking good. It's filling in nicely, Dregs. It started off a little weak, I'll be honest with you, but it's starting to fill in real good, pal.
All right, buddy. Well, a man that never struggled growing facial hair, I take that from you as a compliment.
I did have a beard in my early years.
Early preteens.
Early preteen had a beard. Appreciate it, bud. Enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy the broadcast. It'll be a fun one.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, guys.